Hello, my name's Christian, for those who are unaware, and I am one, which I think I did the job last time, so I won't go into that again. I have a range of drinks around here, which I'm a bit scared to go for here, because I don't know what's been drunk out of and what's not, so I'll leave it for now. We'll go with that. So, yes, I'm going to be talking to you today about... it's kind of changed part way through this. I'll go through this bit by bit. But the crux of it is the unconditional love of God. And really, it's I've got this because I walk around a lot. By the way, I've been already told off. So do be aware that you will have to do this a lot as I go through. When I was about 23, I went on holiday with my parents. It's probably one of my last holidays with my parents. You hit that teenage stage where you kind of like don't want to go on holiday with your parents anymore. And then I think they went to Lanzarote or somewhere. I thought, well, I'm going there because that sounds quite fun. And while I was there with them, I think we'd just come off the beach and this guy came up and gave us three free tickets, which were these just like scratch card things or whatever. And I didn't win anything and my mum didn't win anything, but my dad scratched his off and he said, you've won a free holiday home. And the guy that gave the ticket, he's going crazy. He's going, oh, you've got to come with me. You've got to come. You've won a prize. And I went, come on, Mum. Come on, Dad. We've won a prize. We've won a holiday home. We'll never have to work again. It'll be great. Come on. And my mum and dad were like, no, it's all right. Honestly, we're good. Thanks. And they didn't want to have anything to do with this guy at all. I don't know what you'd do. Would you go with him? Yeah, you're all shaking your head. Oh dear, we could have won a holiday home. We'd never found out because my mum and dad overruled me as a 22-year-old, and they still would now, even though I'm 40. Because apparently you don't get anything for nothing, is what they told me. Wise words indeed, you may feel. We're going to have a look at that because the way the world gives and the way that God gives are two very, very different things. I want to go to John. Chapter 14, verse 27. I think it's going to be the one thing that will come up on here. I will dot around a little bit. But John chapter 14, verse 27. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples at the end of, just before, actually, he was crucified. He says, peace I leave with you. I'll get this right, yeah. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I do not give to you as the world gives. And that really struck me. That just those few words there. I do not give to you as the world gives. Really, really struck me recently. Because the way the world gives, it always wants something back in return. Do you know what I mean? The way the world gives... is on a completely different agenda to the way that God gives. God's nature, God's very core being, is to give and to give and to give. That's who he is. That's his complete and utter grace of God. He gives peace, he gives grace, and he doesn't give demanding anything back. He doesn't give in any way where he's saying, I'll do this for you as long as you are a really, really good boy. I'll do this for you as long as you... clean the dishes, or as long as you never sin again for the rest of your life, or whatever. Every time that God gives, there's no strings attached. We don't need to be in a special place to receive this. We don't need to be in a funky kind of religious mood to be able to receive these gifts or to receive the love that God's got for us. We don't earn our right to enjoy what God's got for us. And it's his desire for every single person on the planet to enjoy the things that he's got for us, to enjoy his love, to enjoy his touch, to enjoy everything that he has. He gives better than the most generous father that we can possibly imagine. And I don't know what fathers are like, but I like to give things to my children. Maybe not too much because I don't want to spoil them, but I still like to give things to them. But he gives even more. He gives more abundantly than we can possibly imagine. And that is his desire, to liberate us so much that we can enjoy life in all its fullness. When Jesus came, that's what he said. I come to give you life in all its fullness. This is always God, full on, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to speak to us, trying to impart to us, trying to input into our lives again and again and again, that we can enjoy a life that is full, a life that is rich of his love, a life that is rich with his grace, with his peace. This is his desire for our lives. And therefore, there's nothing to be wary of around God. We can trust him. He's not got any ulterior motives. He's not saying to us, I'll give you this as long as you will do this for me. He wants to give us just because that's who he is. And people are completely different in this way. I mean, I'm not being horrible here, but there is this sense of, when I was at school, for example, you had to have the right trainers to be accepted in the in crowd. That was it. And if you weren't, then you weren't in the in crowd. These days, it's phones, mobile phones at school. If you've got the right phone, you're in the right crowd. And if you've not, unfortunately, you're not in the right circle of friends. But it goes like this wherever you are and whatever your capacity is, that people will value you and judge you on something and decide on whether you are worthy to be receiving of their love or not. Am I right? Yeah? People judge us all the time on the values that they see around us. So when they see you, and they will make a snap judgment very quickly. Is this somebody I want? I don't know what your name is. What's your name?
Tom.
So very quick, I'll go, Tom looks quite cool. He's got a hoodie on. I like that kind of man. I want to be with him. Yeah. Very quickly, I'll make a snap decision on whether I want to value him or whether I don't. I could look at somebody else and I could say, do you know what? I don't feel like I want to associate myself with that person as much. I don't value that person in the same way or whatever. We make these judgments very quickly because we might not want to be associated with them or we might want to associate. And that's what's happening all the time. So the world is always telling us that love is conditional. Does that make sense? We are always being bombarded with a message that love is conditional, because we are always having to jump through hoops to get love off people. Yeah? And if we live our lives in this way, striving after the opinions of other people, which is very hard not to a lot of the time, then what we end up doing is living our lives on a roller coaster, an emotional roller coaster of this day I am good because people like me, and this day I must be really bad because people don't like me. And it's a horrible feeling, but that's what goes on again and again and again. God's love is completely and utterly not like that at all. It is your rock in life. It is the steadfast part of our lives where we can come back to again and again. And if everyone thinks I'm a rubbish teacher today, it doesn't matter. If you hate my preach, it will be okay because God will still love me. I mean, you'll never invite me back. But, you know, it'll be okay in one respect because, you know, God still likes me. So it's coming back to that again and again. And it's coming back to, it's not about what other people think of me. It's about what God thinks of me that counts. It's not about what other people judge me. It's about how God judges and gives and blesses. That makes all the difference in our lives. And I spent a lot of my time, I only became a Christian at 22. I don't know whether to tell this story or not. I won't tell it. Scott, that idea, I've already told it once, and it was a good story, but we'll leave that. I need to cut some stuff out of this. And that'll probably be a good thing to cut. We can feel as though we have to earn people's love through performing well at work, yeah? Through our good behavior, through conforming to other people's expectations of us. Well, that's a massive one. Yeah, if other people have expectations of us, either friends, workplace, a family, if we feel that they will only love us if we are of a certain ilk, if we, you know, are helping out enough at home, or if we're hitting the right targets at work, or whatever it is that we need to do, then that's what we'll end up striving for again and again and again. So the world only gives on condition, but beautifully, God gives without condition. God gives without strings. God gives because he lives to give. He loves to give. That's the very core of who he is. I want to turn to Psalm 63. And I'm talking about the unconditional love of God. I'm talking about the fact that God loves us all the time. But it's sometimes very abstract, that. I think we can say, oh, yeah, I know that God loves me. And it doesn't really actually do anything. It doesn't make any difference on an experiential level in our lives at all. And, you know, you can say it's fine for you to try and say, well, yeah, God loves you, but what difference does it make? But let's just have a quick look at Psalm 63, which is a psalm of David. It's just the first three verses of this. It says the following. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Now this verse here is a real standout verse. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Because your love is better than life. Now, that is a statement and a half. The love of God is more satisfying, more richly rewarding than anything else in life than we can possibly experience. The love of God will strengthen our souls like nothing else in life can get anywhere near. The love of God, a connection to that love, will bring healing, it will bring restoration, it will release a potential inside of us to impact a world that really needs love. That kind of love is what we need. And the more we receive God's love, the more we have love to give out. This whole thing that the love of God is healing. I have an amazing story about this. I was just going around school. It's teachers, we have to do these duties sometimes. And this one teacher had he had a man flu. I was going to say a cold. It was man flu. But he was moaning, you know, moaning about it. I feel like going home. And he had a duty to do. I didn't have a duty to do. It was break time. Can you get 15 minutes of break? And he had to do a thing. And I was like, well, you know, it's a loving thing to do to do that for him. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll do your duty for you. And then you can just get a cup of tea or whatever and just relax a little bit. But he's under this cold. I had to fight him, not fight him physically, but I had to, you know, argue with him to get him to have the break. He didn't, you know, I'll be all right. Don't worry. Just take a break. Just take a break. So he took the break. 15 minutes was all it was. And I just went and did his duty, which is, you know, just shouting at kids. And then it's not really. It's not really, honestly. Very nice people. So he did it. After the 15 minutes were up, he went back to teach his lesson, and he said, I feel unbelievable. He was healed. His cold had gone. He's got the cold that he had at the start of break had disappeared in the 15 minutes that he'd taken the break. And that's the power of the love of God. Because God, that was like, do his break for him. God was putting that into my heart to say, go on, do his break for him. And as he got the love of God transmitted into him, he got an impact of God. And all of a sudden, I don't know whether that squares up with your theology. I know I didn't lay hands on him. I wasn't like going, you know, come out of him or anything like that. I just did his break. That was just his duty for him. And that was all it was. But something took place in him. Something hit him at that point. Unless he had something in his tea that I didn't know about, that all of a sudden he was a changed man. He was moaning like anything, and all of a sudden he was a different person. The love of God does something in us, and it does something in other people, because as we give out that love, then it changes and transforms the people around us. Because the love of God can impact our hearts, but the people that have never met God yet will only get God's love as you and us, as combined, we go out and we give that love out to other people. So God's love can impact massively into people's lives as we let it flow. And that's been a recent challenge. God has challenged me on this to say, you know, I sometimes draw enough of God's love to survive. It's nice coming here on a Sunday. I did enjoy it a lot. I've enjoyed, you know, worshiping here. I've really been blessed here, actually, in the worship and just connecting with God afresh again, and you think, oh, that's nice. Yeah. But sometimes, and this is where God was challenging me, I get enough just to get through the day for me, so I don't scream at the kids or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, through gritted teeth, we make it through, and it's enough. And God's like, don't just take enough for you, take enough so you can go out. Yeah, just sit and draw my love, just relax and enjoy and experience my love so much that when you go out into the world, that you just can't help but love other people. You just can't help but give it out. You just can't help but be graceful and be peaceful. And it's not just about not screaming at children. It's actually about meeting them where they're at. It's about seeing where their people are at and helping their needs at what's going on. It's about making people, it's about touching the lost, touching the broken and restoring people as much as anything else. I was helping a girl out recently at school who she was finding it difficult to do her maths, and I was just trying to get it through. And after a while, I realised that she wasn't feeling very happy, so I asked her if she was all right. And you know how people are. You know, I'm all right. And I looked at her properly in the eyes. I'll just use you as an example here. I looked at her properly in the eyes and I said, "Are you sure you're okay?" And she started crying there and then. And I was thinking, this is interesting. Immediately, what was happening was that, again, the love of God was just going through into her life and ministering to something that was hurting, obviously, at the time. And obviously, there's no magic in this. It was just sincere love. It has to be. You can't fake this stuff. Yeah, do you know what I mean? I can't say, right, here's a trick if you want to make someone cry in the future. All right, there's no trickery in this. It's just letting the sincere love of God flow through our lives. That's all it was. So I was concerned with the girl. I wanted to know if she was all right. I wanted to know if it wasn't your daughter. I wanted to know if she was okay. And as that happened, she felt valued. She felt like somebody cared. She felt like somebody was bothered about her and something impacted her heart. And that is really, really what I guess this message is all about. It's about how we can take the love of God, which is unconditional to us, and take it out into a world that really needs it. Take it out into a world that really has not even received any of this yet, not even experienced any of this yet. But that girl there, she's crying, but she's also getting healed as she's doing that. Something's happening inside her. She's getting her hurts ministered to. The next section, which we are not going to get through, quite frankly, would be keys to how we would receive this. How do we get ourselves in a good place to connect with God on a regular basis, on a place where we're experiencing His love? I did say at the start that it's one thing to have a head knowledge of God's love. This is a completely different thing to have a heart knowledge of God's love, to experience His love. Ephesians 3, which we won't look at now, talks about us getting to know the width and the depth and the height of His love. And this is a heart thing. This isn't just a starting to get mathematical thing. This is a let's actually experience this love. Let's see what's going on. Let's connect with God in a way that it's going to transform our lives. And because it's transforming our lives, it's going to transform the lives of people around us. There were three keys I would bring. The first one, obviously, is the first is to believe that He loves us in the first place. It is an absolute massive thing. I had a friend who horrible background he came from. He got saved probably about the same age as me. And the one verse he took was, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, da 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 da. But he put his own name in it. Rather than the world, he put his name in it. So God so loved the world that God so loved me that He gave His one and only Son. God so loved me. And he just kept on saying it over and over and over to himself again and again and again until he became convinced that God loved him. I don't know a person now in my life that is more graceful than this guy, more loving than this guy, and has more friends on Facebook than this guy. He's an unbelievable person. But it started off with him just remembering again. And I'm not saying if you want friends on Facebook or whatever your social media network is. But you get the idea. It's about just realizing. First of all, that's a starting place that we need to believe. I think you've had a lot of teaching on faith recently, so I won't go too much into that. If I'm going to leave you with anything, as much I think it would be this next thing, is the whole point of being real with God, I think is possibly my biggest thing at the moment. That Jesus meets us exactly where we are. We don't need to get into a special place before we can connect. We don't need to feel anything. We don't need to be real super holy or anything like that. We just need to be ourselves. We just need to be real with Him. We need to be open. We need to be honest with Him. And if we can be like that, that's where Jesus wants to start. Jesus had such an issue with the Pharisees because they weren't being real. They were pretending all the time. And that was the whole thing. And Jesus tried to keep on bringing them back to being real, but The people he dealt with the best were the people that were coming to him going, I'm broken, I'm a mess. And he was going, brilliant. Now we can do something because you're being honest. Now we can do something because you're being real. And that's what it's about. It's about being real with him. Because he can reach out as far as he needs to reach to get towards us. It's like Mr. Tickle. He's got very long arms. You never read Mr. Tickle, obviously, but there we are. He's everywhere, and it's important. It's important that we have that understanding, okay? Because if we don't, then we will sometimes put on fronts to God. A few years back, I was praying and trying to whip up some spiritual frenzy within myself, and nothing was happening, nothing was going on. In the end, in some kind of huff, feeling like rubbish, I was like, well, I don't even feel like talking to you today, God. Not a nice thing to say, is it? I would advise you, do not say it to your husband or wife. But I said it to God, there and there. Because I didn't. I was like, I was trying to pray, trying to be a good boy, because like good Christians are supposed to pray, aren't they? Aren't they? Is that part of it? Someone told me they were, anyway. So we were supposed to pray. So I was doing the thing because I was supposed to do it. But like God knew I didn't want to. And I was trying to again and again. And I was feeling nothing. I didn't really want to do it. So I said to him, look, I'm sorry, God. I probably didn't even apologize. I think I just said I don't feel like praying. And the minute I said that, the very second I said that, I felt total connection with God. And then I've really sensed him saying, brilliant, now we can start talking then. Which was quite a bizarre kind of paradox in one respect. But God was saying, this is it. This is where we need to start. You don't feel like talking today, so this is where we start. We start where you are. And from that point on, I had quite a decent time talking to him. But I didn't feel like it at first. It was like I couldn't talk to him from where I wasn't. I was pretending to be somebody I wasn't. And God doesn't want that. He wants you. He doesn't want somebody who's pretending to be somebody different. Yeah, he made one of you because he wanted one of you. It's nice, that. It is. You know, I like that, you know. You know, he didn't have one of you, so he thought, you know what, I'll make one of you. And so he doesn't want us to pretend to be somebody that we're not in that respect. So, yes, we'll leave out all the other stuff because we're running out of time. But, if you want any ministry on stuff that we've talked about on this, the thing really that's in my heart the most is that if you want to have a fresh connection with the love of God, if you want a connection with God's love, then I'll happily pray at the end, come to the front here or whatever, or talk to me at the end. And pray for you to have that fresh connection, that fresh touch of the love of God, not just us abstract knowledge that he loves me, because I think everyone who comes to church has heard it so many times. That you kind of, your head knows it, but it's a bit of a different thing experiencing it. There were some other things that I will just mention, because as I was praying last night about into this came out, that if you are feeling weary or heavy, and again, if that would come down to love of God, you need the love of God to put fresh strength in your soul, then please come to the front on that. A broken heart. Someone needs to have that ministered to, some healing in the heart, and fresh joy actually as well was something that came quite clearly as well. So a few things that if you want me to pray into, I will happily pray for you on that. But I'll wrap up what I was going to say there on the things that we mentioned, and we'll just pray. Jesus, just thank you for your goodness towards us. We thank you that your love is unconditional, that we can trust in that no matter what. And God, just ask for every single person in this room that you'll just help us to lead us down a path where we experience more and more and more of that love, Lord God. Lord God, that it will just change us and transform us from the inside out. And Lord, that more and more and more we will be a light, a beacon, Lord God, that shines out your love to other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.